Residents of Metro Manila and nearby provinces won't be receiving any further aid for the second week of the lockdown. We'll be joined by Nabota City Mayor Toby Bianco for his take on the ECQ extension. Pharmaceutical firm Janssen asks the Philippines to grant emergency use authorization for its J&J COVID-19 vaccine. The Philippine Orthopedic Center asks government to expedite its vaccination rollout after over 100 of its workers tested positive for COVID-19. And opposition senators laud the Philippines' defense chief for demanding the Chinese vessels leave Julian Felipe Reef. We'll discuss this brewing word war between Manila and Beijing with Bayamuna Party List Representative Carlos Zarate. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Lockdown with no further aid coming from the national government. That's the sad reality for residents of Metro Manila and surrounding provinces who have been placed under the strictest quarantine measure for the second straight week. Government earlier allocated 1,000 pesos per individual during the first week of the reimposition of the enhanced community quarantine. But Palace spokesperson Harry Roque admits that's all government can afford for now.
Given what Secretary Abisado said, no, that we have no more funds for ayuda, and Congress currently is on recess. No? So in case we need a supplemental budget, we would have to request for a special session.
Malacanang hopeful it can place Metro Manila and nearby provinces under a more relaxed lockdown next week.
I don't think ECQ for a third week is actually a possibility. In fact, based on the model of the DOH, what they recommended was 2 weeks of ECQ, including last week. And then we had earlier another week of bubble to be followed by a week of MECQ. No? And if we in fact, implement the minimum health protocols and we intensify our prevention, detection, isolation, tracing initiatives, we expect the numbers to go down by around 4,000 a day by May 15.
Presidential spokesperson Harry Roque hitting back at Vice President Lenny Robredo. This after the Vice President challenged the Duterte administration to ramp up COVID-19 testing amid the rising number of infections. She also urged the government to give it for free. Roque, however, insists all these are already being done by the government since last year.
Now, I'd like to point out that testing is virtually free if you are an economic frontliner, a medical frontliner, if you have had exposure, or if you have symptoms. No? So it is only the asymptomatics without exposure who want to test that will have to pay the required fee. No? But all you have to declare is that you had been exposed, you had a close contact, and that will be paid for by PhilHealth. So I don't know what VP Robredo is saying. We have taken steps also to use now cheaper tests, for instance, the antigen test. So the antigen test has been validated, at least three brands have been validated by RITM.
Interior Undersecretary Epe Makoden Singh, well, he also took a swipe at Robredo.
It seems that in our country, instead of the opposition helping out and encouraging even us government workers to continue to work, I think we are being discouraged by attacking what we are doing. Not to mention that the programs that she has been proposing has already been done by government.
It's not only Vice President Robredo who expressed dismay over the government's handling of the pandemic. On social media, Senator Panfilo Lacson described the virus as going berserk. He adds, it seems no one is in charge of handling the pandemic and that government is simply on autopilot mode. An official of the Philippine Interior and local government admitting they were caught off guard by the current surge in COVID-19 cases. See, on Sunday, the Philippines recorded over 10,000 new COVID-19 cases for the third straight day. DILG Undersecretary Epemaco Densing saying while government prepared for an eventual spike in cases, they didn't expect it to be this high.
We never expected that it will the surge will be more than that of last year. We have to remember that the healthcare system was already that strong as early as January, no? And the preparation of the healthcare system was because we expected a vacation or holiday surge, even the translation, and it didn't happen. So in other words, the system was still strong until the second surge came in the first week of March, but it went more than what was expected last year.
Despite the dire situation in the Philippines, Densing still believes government did a good job in its pandemic response.
I consider that we did better if we compare this our response from other countries. And the fact that the numbers went down, no, after August of last year continuously, I think we were fairly, I think fairly successful in containing. Because in January of this year, infections in the NCR only was at 314. Until the second surge, which made NCR infections 10 times more in early March.
Most hospitals across Metro Manila are already at full capacity, with some even forced to turn away patients. Medical staff at the Philippine Orthopedic Center stretched thin after 117 employees tested positive for COVID-19. Sean Belches, president of the National Orthopedic Workers Union, says the hospital has suspended its outpatient services, face-to-face consultations, and elective surgery due to limited staffing.
At the moment, well, as a backgrounder, ang Health Human Resource ng Philippine Orthopedic Center ay 1,300, give or take, no? Pero yan ay mula na yan sa mga specialist hanggang sa mga nasa support unit sa mga offices. At unfortunately, yung mga nag-positive, yung mga active cases natin ngayon, ay yung stratification niya ay wide-ranging din mula mga specialists, mga resident doctors and surgeons, hanggang sa mga office staff at mga allied health professionals.
The hospital's administration, meanwhile, appeals to the government to expedite the country's vaccination program in order to protect frontliners.
We have been receiving already a lot of face masks and PPE from numerous government and non-government donors. What I'm sure would have helped is not only for us, but also for everyone else in the country is increased vaccinations, because the vaccine is a extra level of protection. You know, we have all of these other COVID protection, the socially distance, mask, shield, hand washing, social distancing, and these are all external layers of protection. The vaccine is an internal layer of protection.
A Philippine lawmaker proposes household lockdowns to curb the spread of COVID-19. While local governments are already doing targeted lockdowns, Marikina Representative Stella Kimbo believes asking affected families to stay at home will be more effective. This way, Kimbo says, the rest of the economy can also remain open.
For any household that would have, let's say, one COVID-positive individual, meaning tested by RT-PCR and confirmed positive, what we can do is the entire household would be presumed to be COVID. So you first isolate the COVID-positive individual. Of course, if it's not feasible at home to do isolation, that individual can be taken to an isolation facility. And meanwhile, the rest, while waiting for their test results, can be presumed positive and therefore not allowed to leave the house. The missing link really is economic stimulus. Government has to spend more. The only way that, for example, individuals, families, as well as firms are expected to comply with minimum health standards is if they are provided assistance by government. It's tremendously expensive to comply with health standards.
Kimbo also urging government to conduct more COVID-19 tests for free to get a clearer picture of the pandemic. So far, the country is able to conduct 50,000 tests per day.
We can't even figure out the correct number of cases. And of course, as you know, in medicine, if you are unable to diagnose properly, you cannot treat your patient properly. Government really needs to subsidize testing. As I said, it's just really too expensive. 4,000 to 10,000 per test is just way too expensive, considering that PhilHealth is not really that effective in terms of covering RT-PCR.
Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine now up for review here in the Philippines. The Food and Drug Administration says J&J's pharmaceutical firm Janssen applied for emergency use authorization last week. Unlike other coronavirus vaccines, J&J only requires one dose. It's been found to be 66% effective in preventing COVID-19. Another setback for AstraZeneca, the U.S. has ousted the British pharmaceutical giant from a vaccine factory in Baltimore and put its rival, Johnson & Johnson, in charge of the facility. Here's the full story.
The United States government is blocking AstraZeneca from using the Baltimore factory that botched 15 million coronavirus vaccine doses and has placed its rival, Johnson & Johnson, solely in charge of the facility instead. That's according to a Reuters source, a senior health official. It's the latest setback for AstraZeneca, the British pharmaceutical giant, which had been previously criticized by the government for using outdated information in the results of its vaccine trial. It's not been approved yet in the U.S. Several major countries, including Canada, France, and Germany, have also limited use of Astra's vaccine while they investigate reports of blood clotting, although the reports are incredibly rare. Millions of people have already been inoculated with it. The Baltimore factory is owned by a company called Emergent BioSolutions and previously produced coronavirus vaccines for both Astra and Johnson & Johnson. The botched doses incident occurred several weeks ago when the factory reportedly mixed ingredients for the two different vaccines together in error. The New York Times reports that the Biden administration's move to oust AstraZeneca from the facility was done to avoid future mix-ups. Last week, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the government's top infectious disease expert, told Reuters that the country has enough vaccines in the pipeline that it may not need AstraZeneca's, even if it does win approval.
Pope Francis calls military spending and armed conflict during the pandemic scandalous. And as this report tells us, he urges countries to expedite the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines instead.
Pope Francis's Easter message this year, broadcast to tens of millions around the world, is clear. Buy vaccines, not guns.
Hallelujah.
At slimmed-down celebrations in Vatican City on Sunday, the Pope said armed conflict and military spending during a pandemic is wrong.
La pandemia è ancora in pieno corso.
The pandemic is still spreading. The social and economic crisis remains severe, especially for the poor. Nonetheless, and this is scandalous, armed conflicts have not ended, and military arsenals are being strengthened.
E si rafforzano gli arsenali militari.
He urged countries to quicken distribution of COVID vaccines, particularly to the world's poor, praised medical workers, and sympathized with young people unable to attend school. He also called for peace in several conflict areas around the world and singled out for praise the young people of Myanmar, who are committed to supporting democracy and making their voices heard peacefully. This is the second year in a row that Easter papal services have been attended by small gatherings at a secondary altar of St. Peter's Basilica, instead of by crowds of thousands in the church or in the square outside.
Thailand's tourism sector jumping to the head of the COVID-19 vaccination line following the inoculation of the country's medical workers and its elderly. The popular resort island of Phuket will embark on a mass inoculation program 2 months ahead of the general population. Phuket aims to deliver shots to at least 460,000 residents as it gears up for its July 1st, which is when vaccinated overseas visitors will no longer be required to quarantine. Phuket has its own international airport, so tourists would be able to roam the island freely without posing any risk to the rest of Thailand. Well, back here at home, Metro Manila mayors all agreeing to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Metro Manila Council Chairman Parañaque Mayor Edwin Olivares made that statement after the national government allowed mayors and governors in high-risk areas to get inoculated. Manila Mayor Isko Moreno received his first vaccine shot this past Sunday.
Based on IATF ruling, only the LCE, the local chief executive, in the hot zone. Yung pa lamang ang inaprubahan ng IATF last Saturday night. That's why early morning of Sunday, kasi may bakunahan sa Manila kahit Linggo, nagpabakuna na ako agad because that's how we tell the people. Get vaccinated if you are allowed as soon as possible while supply lasts.
Now let's check on the COVID-19 situation in the city of Navotas. Now joining us, Mayor Toby Tianco joins us via Zoom. Mayor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Carmina, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Have you been vaccinated?
No, actually, Carmina, kakatapos ko lang ng medical consultation with my doctor because I had to get clearance, no?
Right.
For the vaccination because I have a comorbidity, and the instruction to me just now was to stop. I have to stop a certain medicine for 7 days and see kung hindi ako, because I'm severely asthmatic, no? So I take maintenance medicines. Actually, apat yun. I have to stop one for 7 days and see if my asthma will not shoot or will not be severe.
Okay.
On the 8th day, and if it's not severe, then I can schedule for vaccination.
All right.
I just finish it right now, right before your interview.
All right. Good luck to you. I hope it all goes well. But
yeah.
One
so
thing...
pag okay yan, then with a heavy heart, I will take the Sinovac.
Why do you say with a heavy heart? Diba ang sinasabi ng gobyerno, whatever vaccine is there is the best vaccine available. Is the best vaccine for you.
No, medically, I have no reservations. I want to make it clear. Medically po, maliwanag, okay po yung Sinovac. No? That's what I asked my doctor. Sabi niya, against severe, na kung saan tayo ma-hospital, it's 100%. Walang problema doon.
Hmm.
Kaya lang, you know, I don't know if it's a wrong sense of patriotism. It could be wrong. Yung issue kasi doon sa West Philippine Sea, parang, how do you put it? Parang, ito yung bakuna, huwag kayong ahangal kasi kung papasukin namin yung... That's how I look at it, no? It could be wrong. Parang papasukin namin yung West Philippines, hindi naman kayo makakaangal kasi nagbibigay kami ng bakuna eh.
Hmm.
Ay, kung umangal kayo, di hinto namin yung bakuna. Parang ganun lang yung dating sa akin. No?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be wrong. It could be wrong. So the heavy heart is not because of the medical efficacy, but it's because of, it could be a wrong sense of patriotism. But I have decided already, kahit heavy heart, I have to show my constituents that it's safe. So, yeah, no? So even if I feel prostituted about it, I will proceed.
I appreciate your explanation. Glad you clarified that for us this afternoon. But you know what's not going so well?
Mm-hmm.
Is the situation right now, the situation that we have right now. This has prompted Senator Pantilo Lacson, for example, saying that it seems like the COVID response is now on autopilot. Is that what you feel? Is that what you see? You're there. You're in the middle of everything. What do you think about that assessment?
No, because we don't know what is happening inside the IATF, no? What we know is the IATF members who...
Mayor Toby?
Someone called this.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So what we know is the IATF members who are in constant meetings with us. No, yan si Secretary Vince Dizon,
si Secretary Charlie Galvez, Secretary Lorenzana, Secretary Duque, and of course our MMDA chairman, no? So they always meet with us. So pagdating sa kanila, whether consultation, they always ask us. At pag may decision, they always tell us. At pag may kailangan kami, tuloy-tuloy yan. For example, no? Yung Saturday evening, right after their meeting nung Saturday evening IATF, they already told us kung ano mangyayari. Nung sa top, sinabihan kaagad kami. And pag may problema kami, they coordinate with the other secretaries, no? So sa amin, walang problema doon sa implementation namin when it comes with them. Talagang tumutulong sila, no?
Okay, but, so having said that, Mayor, I'm sorry to cut you there, but having said that, because I don't want to lose this thought, if that is doing well, if your communication with the IATF is doing well, you have no complaints about it, how do you then explain what is happening all over the country? You had 15,000 the other day, 12,000, 11,000. People are being turned away from hospitals. People are dying before reaching emergency rooms. So what's the explanation for that disconnect?
Okay, I think to be very fair, I think what happened is hindi na-expect yung ganitong kataas. No? Hindi siguro na-expect na yung variants will be this bad. No, siguro they were expecting nag-peak last year, kung pareho lang ng last year ang kakayanin, no? Siguro yun lang, hindi lang na foresee na yung UK variant and yung South African variant ganito ang magiging epekto sa atin.
Okay.
So I think that's where the problem, because 'di ba nag-spike eh. Nung nag-spike, doon na tayo nahirapan lahat, 'di ba? Hindi na maka-cook up yung medical capacity natin. And I think one thing that worsened it was the expectation that the vaccines will come early in February, and it did not come. So sa tingin ko, baka nag-loosen up yung mga tao nung akala na dadating yung bakuna, tapos biglang hindi dumating. So nagdoble yung epekto, no?
So isn't that a sign of mismanagement, that the vaccines have yet to find their way here, that all we have are donated ones and not the ones that we procured?
That one I cannot say categorically, no, because I'm not part of the negotiation. Siyempre, kung ano lang yung sinasabi sa amin, yun ang natatanggap namin. Sabi, ay ganito, biglang naghigpit. So yun lang ang natatanggap namin na information. No? But one thing that really worsened it is yung hawaan doon sa loob ng bahay. I think hindi natin na-warn in advance yung ating mga kababayan na yung hawaan na ay nasa loob ng bahay because of the new variant. Kasi isang case nagiging 10 cases, nagiging 11 cases kasi 11 sila sa bahay. So yun yung mga naging problema. But ang importante lang dito, I think, what we have to do is kung may mali, we have to be brought back to the right direction at once. I think that is the most important thing. Kasi hindi naman talaga ma-foresee lahat pagdating sa COVID because first time ito. So kung first time, ang pinakamahalaga is kung na-discover tayo o namali yung plano, maibalik ulit sa tamang plano, di ba? And isang direction lang. So yun yung pinakamahalaga.
Na-discover ba ang IATF, Mayor?
I would say, doon sa bakuna, talagang na-delay tayo. Pero hindi naman siguro natin kasalanan kasi kung hindi talaga tayo sinusuplayan, di ba? Ngayon, doon sa bagong variant, siguro hindi talaga tayo nakapaghanda, no? But kami, even without the genomic, because for example, yung genomic sequencing pa lang will take 14 days. Pero kami, dahil nakatuto kami daily, as early as the first week of March, sinabi na namin na it seems like a different variant. Kasi na-notice na namin noon, mas mataas di hamak yung positivity rate sa loob ng bahay kaysa sa positivity.
Mayor, may tumawag na naman sa'yo.
Yes, sorry. Yes.
Medyo marami rin, balikan ko lang, no? Medyo may there are people reacting to your statement.
Na?
About Sinovac and how you were honest enough to say that maybe it's a wrong sense of patriotism, but I'm receiving texts right now praising you for what you just said. It's sort of refreshing to hear someone say that.
No, kasi look ha, Carmina. Si Secretary Delfin Lorenzana is the one who is objecting and protesting, di ba? He is actually strongly protesting it. At the same time, he is the co-chair of the IAPF. So where does it put him, di ba? Parang I appreciate it very much na pumapalag siya. Eh, pero kung sabihin ng China subtly o ipitin, hindi naman kailangan tayo sabihan, di ba? Pwede lang ipitin unti-unti yung bakuna eh. But that's my own personal opinion, no? Please don't be swayed. Sinasabi ko lang how I feel about it. But I will take it.
Let's go back to what is happening now in Navotas over the weekend and the past several days. I mean, I'm sure you've also heard a lot from your friends who are saying we've never offered so many condolences in so many days in such a short period of time. Also, the health workers have been appealing. I want to know what the situation is in Navotas. How are your health workers doing as we speak?
Actually, in the middle of March, di ba, nagsarado na kami ng outpatient department namin. Kasi nga, nagkakasakit na rin yung ating mga health workers. No? But you know, it's totally different now, Carmina. This is the only time where I felt na karamihan ng tao natatakot na sa COVID. In the past, parang yung majority, parang, alam mo, yung parang relax-relax lang sila. Pero ngayon talaga sinasabi na nila na natatakot sila. And even yung vaccine, talagang after the first 2 days kami nagbakuna sa senior citizen last Monday and Tuesday, 100% yung increase ng registration after the first 2 days. But sad to say, today is our last day for AstraZeneca kasi 500 na lang yung natitira naming AstraZeneca. No? And then, kahit yung mga wala sa priority, lahat gusto na magpabakuna ngayon. So yun yung nakita kong difference. So I hope, hindi naman ako dahil sa natutuwa na natatakot yung tao, pero sa tingin ko, ngayon siguro mas mag-iingat na sila because yung deaths are too close to them already.
Yeah.
Imagine, Carmina, if positivity rate is 1 out of 4
yeah,
or almost 25%, ang dami mo ng imposibleng wala kang kilala.
Correct.
Nag-positive, no?
Yeah.
And that's last... out of those we tested, ha? That's out of those we tested. Paano yung hindi natin tinest? To give you an example how bad it is, di ba doon sa Navotas, pag nag-violate ng health protocols, hindi penalty, isa swab test ka. So ang taas ng positivity rate doon sa mga nag-violate na hindi naman close contact. So everywhere around you, basta't may naglalakad na tao, ang laki ng possibility, at least 15% doon, hindi nila alam na meron silang COVID-19.
Now, we're going to talk about mass testing later. We're going to talk about contact tracing later as well. But I want to talk about now about the services, government services there in Navotas. Remember the last time we talked, Mayor Toby, you were saying barangay health workers are getting infected as well. Taga-collecta ng basura, your barangay city halls also. And you were warning of a possible breakdown in government services if that trend had continued. So what is the situation now? Are you able to provide the services to your constituents despite the war that's going on?
Yes, before I forget, no, Carmina, baka makalimutan ko lang, yung sinasabing tulong ng national government. Kahit Linggo, yesterday nahandun si Regional Director Balboa, si Assistant Regional Director Pascorales, mga tiga IATF, they visited Navotas para yung isang community isolation facility namin, gagawin na nilang parang hospital. So nagtatabaho po sila kahit Linggo. Just this morning, yung ating head ng field post, si Mr. Norman Fulgencio, he's also helping. They visited a site in Navotas kung pwede yung drive-through vaccination.
Yeah.
So everyone is working naman. Now, with the government services, talaga affected na. For example, di ba, we were mandated to distribute the SAP, the ayuda.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get all the possible, I think 40 people from different offices na hindi naman natrabaho mag-distribute ng SAP, just to distribute the SAP. Okay, yung relief goods, nasabihan tayo na ECQ noong Saturday. effective on Monday. So yung ibang opisina, kinuha na namin yung tao para mag-repack ng relief goods, mag-distribute ng relief goods. So ganoon na nangyayari. So talagang disrupted na talaga yung government services. We're just moving people where they are needed. And yung barangay tanods natin, ang daming positive.
By the way, when you talk about the relief goods, we heard from presidential spokesperson Harry Roque that there will be no more aid package, no more ayuda for the second week of ECQ. Remember, we've extended that for another week. So how are you going to deal with this? What is your backup plan?
We will check, no, whatever resources we have. We will have to realign some funds. We will have to cancel some projects as necessary. No? But as of now, yung first round ng ayuda, hindi pa namin natapos because Sabado kami nasabihan, sa Linggo, sarado naman yung bilihan. So we were able to distribute Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nahinto, then today, repack again, and then tuloy ulit bukas. No? And then iniintay na lang namin makredit yung pondo nung galing sa national government, and we are under the duplication process.
Someone's calling you again, Mayor.
Walang dumpi-dumpi ng ayuda.
Sorry, can you just repeat what you just said because it got cut because someone called you?
No, what we're doing now is we will distribute the food packs and we're still waiting for the funds. Yung galing dun sa national government, as of 12 noon, hindi pa siya na-credit. But while we're waiting for the credit, nag-deduplication process kami para masigurado na walang doble-doble na makakatanggap.
Okay, all right. Mass testing. Let's talk about that. As you said a while ago, 1 out of 4, 1 out of 5 chances are the people that you see in the streets, they're positive. What can you say about mass testing? And are you able to do that still in the city of Navotas? And if not...
Yes, we're able to test about 700 to 800 per day.
Okay.
The problem is, dati, nung mababa yung cases, in less than 24 hours, nakuha na natin yung resulta, di ba? Ngayon, 2 to 3 days. But buti na lang, dumating na yung mga Q bands namin, yung quarantine bands. So, before testing, susuotan ka ng quarantine band. Which means to say, hindi ka pwedeng lumabas ng bahay mo habang hindi nagne-negative yung resulta. So that we can make sure na hindi sila lumalabas ng bahay. So sa aming mga kababayan sa Navotas, kung meron kayong makikita na may suot na pareho nung sa ospital.
Na nasa labas.
Na nakalabas. I-report ka agad sa amin yan kasi hindi sila dapat lumalabas basta't meron silang gano'n. No? But again, even that, kung ganyan kadami yung cases, even that in 15 days, mauubos yung Q band namin. So nag-order na rin kami. Kasi we did not really expect this. Imagine we ordered the Q bands end of February. Just thinking that we will use it for the normal cases na bago mag-test, itatag na namin para hindi pwedeng lumabas. Pero ganyan nangyari. So, ganun. And then the other problem is, puno na po yung mga isolation facilities. Even the national government, hindi na kami makapagdala. Because if you will recall, Carmina, as a matter of principle, yung Navotas, hindi pumapayag ng home quarantine. Ngayon, sa dami ng kaso namin, pumapayag na kami ng home quarantine. Pero buti na lang ulit, may Q-band kami. Kasi lahat ng naka-home quarantine, may Q-band din sila. And lahat ng kasama nila sa bahay, may Q-band. Hindi sila pwedeng lumabas ng bahay. And then they have to scan the Q-band twice a day. So pag tinext sila, they have to scan it so that we are sure that they are in their place of residence. Kasi naka-geotag yung place of residence niya.
So pag Mayor, so... That only shows that your local government there is very dynamic and responds in any way that it can and it should to this pandemic. So you were able to take hold of that technology and work with people. Just so, tell us about the background of that because that's a very interesting story right there. Gaano kabilis nyong na-develop itong tracing and monitoring technology ninyo dyan sa Navotas?
And actually, ang nangyari kasi doon is nung January, nakita namin mababa na yung cases, di ba? So ang goal namin on January, dahil nasa 50 cases na lang kami, is to further bring it down. Sabi namin, ibaba pa natin to. So paano natin ibababa ito? The only way mababa ito is aggressive testing again, and yung mga close contact, i-quarantine natin prior to testing, prior to the release of the results of the test. Tapos, noong mid-February, unti-unti siyang tumataas. So sabi namin, hindi natin kayang i-quarantine ito lahat. So isip tayo kung ano yung gagawin natin. So ang nangyari, may nag-offer ng supply ng Q-band. Pero hindi dumating. Hindi dumating. So napilitan yung IT department ng Navotas na gumawa ng sariling software ng Q-band.
Hindi mas okay pa. Because kontrolado ninyo. O hindi rin?
Okay. Ang problema is, we didn't expect this surge. That's what I'm saying. Even kami, isip ng isip, ano ba yung gagawin, hindi namin na-expect na ganitong kataas yung surge. So kala namin, in order namin na Q-band, sobra-sobra na. Yung pala, in 20 days, maubusan kami. So now we're really sourcing for Q-band. So meron mga nagsusupply dyan nung hindi nasisira na bands, kahit maligo, within 21 days, pakicontact po yung Bids and Awards Committee ng Navotas. We need more of those bands.
Okay, let's get into that. You said that you're now utilizing home quarantine. That's what's working now. In fact, this is also the suggestion of Representative Stella Kimbo that to her is a model that works, household lockdowns. And this way, she said, it's better for the economy to reopen if you have whole household lockdowns. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, sa
Mayor, may tumatawag ho ata ulit.
Sorry, ang daming tumatawag.
Eh kasi nagsabi ka kasi tungkol sa ano eh.
Saan?
Doon sa vaccine. Sige, continue mo na.
Okay. Ano yun?
Household lockdowns.
Yung sa Navotas, preferred namin kasi yung sa ano, yung i-isolate sila. But we were forced by the situation kasi hindi na nga kayang tanggapin eh. The only good thing here is meron kaming Q-band. Kung hindi, imagine how will you monitor, Carmina? What? Kulang na yung tanod. Sino magbabantay kahit in-lockdown mo yun? The problem there, it's a good plan, but how do you implement it? Okay, you lock down a house. You've locked down 100 houses. How do you make sure that people in those 100 houses do not go out? How do you implement it? Yan yung problema eh. It's a good plan, but how do you implement it? And there are 10 people in one household. So how do you make sure that, kasi yung sa Navotas, you decide, no? If you want to stay in the house where there is a positive case, kahit negative ka, you cannot go out for the time being that the person has not recovered.
Yeah.
Ngayon, kung gusto kong may trabaho ka, offer ka, you have to find a place to stay in. Yun na nga yung dapat isang pre-prepare namin. We were preparing a place to house those who are uppers and who are negative para may tirahan sila.
Right.
Ang problema, yun naman yung nakita ng DOH na dapat hindi mapala problema. On the other hand, yun na nakita ng DOH na pwedeng gawing mini hospital. So makakalito na rin yung plano na yan. So ganun po yung nangyayari. Hindi na, yung serbisyo ang humahabol dun sa pangangailangan. Eh. Kahit may plano, merong mahihinto dahil gagamitin sa mas kailangan na serbisyo.
Mm-mm. All right, we're gonna have to leave it at that. I guess all with our discussion today, at least you've shown that you have to be continuously dynamic and alive and relevant if you are to govern your constituents outside of this pandemic and through this pandemic. And that should be the case in all local chief executives. We're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Navotas City Mayor Toby Tiangco, as always, thank you so much for your candor.
Yeah,
and thank you for joining us today. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you. Stay safe, Carmina. Bye-bye. Bye.
Take care. All right, from there, we are going to go to a break. Coming up, we'll turn our attention to the word war between top Philippine and Chinese officials over Beijing's latest incursion in the West Philippine Sea. This is Dateline Philippines. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still at Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Residents of Metro Manila and nearby provinces, well, they won't be receiving any more government aid for the second week of the lockdown. Pharmaceutical firm Janssen asks the Philippines to grant emergency use authorization for its J&J COVID-19 vaccine. The Philippine Orthopedic Center asks government to expedite its vaccination rollout after over 100 of its workers tested positive for COVID-19. And opposition senators laud the Philippines' defense chief for demanding that Chinese vessels leave Julian Felipe Reef. Back with more news. Philippine Foreign Affairs Secretary Teodoro Loxin Jr. eyeing further steps after China declared Julian Felipe Reef as part of its territory. Loxin filed a diplomatic protest last March 21 over the presence of around 200 Chinese vessels at the reef located within the Philippines' exclusive economic zone. Manila's top diplomat also met with his Chinese counterpart last Friday in Fujian. On Twitter, Loxin described the Chinese embassy's claim that the area is Chinese territory as, well, problematic. He added he was considering a démarche without elaborating further. Opposition senators backing Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana's demand for Chinese ships to leave the West Philippine Sea. Senate Minority Leader Franklin Trilon saying it is high time for the whole Philippines to unite against China's incursion in the country's waters. He also calls for the enforcement of the ruling of the UN-backed arbitration in The Hague that rejected Beijing's claims in the South China Sea. First Senator Francis Pangilinan, China should put an end to what he calls its dubious and illegal claim over the Philippines' exclusive economic zone. Senator Rizal de Veros urging government to consider making China pay for its incursion. She says Beijing has damaged parts of Philippine seas beyond repair. For party list group Bayan Muna, the Duterte administration is to blame for China's arrogance when it comes to the West Philippine Sea issue. Joining us now, Bayan Muna Representative Carlos Zarate. Congressman Zarate, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program and thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Camila, and good afternoon to our viewers.
All right, so here's where we're at. Secretary Delfin Lorenzana saying, I am no fool. The weather has been good so far, so they have no reason to stay there. The vessels should be on their way out. Umalis na kayo dyan. But here's the question, Congressman Zarate. Is this too little, too late? Should we have heard this way before? Congressman.
You were right, Carmina. No? We have been fooled for the longest time. And while the occupation of our maritime structures in the West Philippine Sea happened not only during this administration, it happened even before, no? If you can recall, the occupation of the Mischief Reef. No? But starting with the so-called soft landing policy, foreign policy of the Duterte administration, where he announced way back in 2016, pivot to China foreign policy, China has becoming more aggressive in its actions and in the West Philippine Sea. Yeah. In fact, last year, even despite the onset of the pandemic, there are ongoing activities and constructions, no? Structures erected in several reefs in the West Philippine Sea. No? Mm-hmm. And this heightened this year. So despite the submission of several diplomatic protests, and in fact, Secretary Loxin is saying he will be filing a demarche, whatever is that, no? What will be the content of that, we don't know yet. Mm. But China is intransigent, no? In response, in fact, to the statement of our defense secretary, China is actually saying now that it's not only the weather that is the reason why they are in the Julian Felipe Reef. No? Now they're saying this is ours.
Correct.
This is part of our territory.
So that's where the problem lies. It's as if the Philippines and China are existing in two separate universes. There's nothing, you know, that they understand in the same way when it comes to this issue. So to your mind, what are the options left? Because you can keep on saying whatever you want, that this is ours, we can always do that. But if they're saying that it's theirs, what do you think are the options left? Because as Secretary Teddy Loxin Jr. put it, this situation now, the claim that the Chinese embassy is making is very problematic, Congressman Zarate.
Correct, Carmina. No? That's precisely the big problem now. No? Because if I recall, President Duterte said way back in 2016, we'll just set aside first our victory in the Permanent Court of Arbitration, no? And engage China in a bilateral engagement, no? And get concessions from China. But it appears now, towards the end of the term of the Duterte administration, it even caused more damage to us than the benefit, no? And so it's high time really now that we have to assert our victory in that tribunal, which recognizes our sovereign rights, even sovereignty, and several maritime structures in the South China Sea, especially those within the so-called West Philippine Sea. And we have been calling even before, no, for the longest time, Carmina, there should be a multilateral approach to this issue.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Multilateral how? Because even when you assert the Hague victory, when you have China, the other party, not even recognizing it, what and how can a multilateral approach bring us to the conclusion that we want for the Philippines?
I think, Amina, it's still going now. There is this ongoing multilateral engagement among claimant countries to come up with a code of conduct among claimant countries, especially in the South China Sea, you know, including China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Brunei, Indonesia, and several others. You know? And I think it behooves on the Philippines to be more aggressive in pushing for this code of conduct, especially because we have on our side, as I've said earlier, a victory, you know, a decision from the Permanent Court of Arbitration. You know? And in this multilateral engagement, you know, of course, we have to be on a at par level. You know? It should be an engagement among equals. And there should be no dictates from, for example, China and even from other countries, for example, like the U.S. or other European countries. No? And in fact, we have been proposing, Carmina, that this code of conduct should, in fact, lead towards the demilitarization of the South China Sea. No? Because as it is now, China is aggressively putting up military installations in these reefs. No? On the other hand, Western countries led by the U.S. is also ramping up, no, its presence, military presence in the South China Sea, no, through its so-called freedom of the navigation operations. No? So these are the suggestions that we have been proposing even before. No?
So in other words, you're saying don't just be one of the claimant countries.
Be
the leading voice.
Yes, no, because we cannot expect other countries to fight for our own interests. And especially, as I've said, dapat mauna nga, we have the moral ascendancy because of that victory in the Permanent Court of Arbitration. No? So it should be the Philippines who will be on the forefront. No? And if the Philippines is saying the China is our friend, then use that as a leverage. At this point in time, Carmina, I think we are putting aside our leverage, no, in the engagement with China.
Congressman Zarate, let me just read a part of your statement, and I do want to touch on this. It's you said in your statement, amid this continuing arrogant occupation of our EEZ and other territories, the Duterte administration should set aside now this subservient pivot to China policy. We just had Congressman, I'm sorry, Nabota City Mayor Toby Tianco on the show just a few minutes ago, and he did say with a heavy heart, if his health allows it, then he will be vaccinated with the Sinovac. Heavy heart, not so much because of the efficacy. The best vaccine is the vaccine that's there, but because of what is happening in the West Philippine Sea. He was very honest about his feelings. So how can you now hope for this subservience to go away when China has donated these hundreds of thousands of doses to the Philippines? Congressman, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, we just had our commemoration of the Lenten season. We celebrated Easter yesterday. And I said last week, we should I hope that this vaccination diplomacy, vaccine diplomacy of China will not be equated to some 30 silver pieces of silver, no? These vaccines, that we will just give away our sovereign rights or sovereignty in the West Philippine Sea, no? Of course, we expect China to engage in economic diplomacy, vaccine diplomacy, if they must. But we should not be considered as a vassal state of China because of this, no? And we will just give away our sovereignty or sovereign rights. This policy of appeasement, as I've said earlier, Carmina, is resulting to more damage, no, than benefit for the Philippines. No, we may receive millions of doses of vaccines, but at what expense? By just giving up our sovereign rights or even sovereignty in our territories. Remember, the Julian Philippi is, in fact, within our exclusive economic zone. And under international law, it's the exploitation of the resources within that EEC is reserved for the Filipinos. But now, we cannot even go there. Our fishery folks cannot even approach that Julian Philippi reef. Just like the other reefs now being occupied by China. Can we just close our eyes on this? Because we have been given vaccines, there are loans provided to the Duterte administration. I think it should not be the case, no? If indeed China is our friend, then he should be a a responsible global citizen, no? He can use as leverage as being a superpower, but I think it should treat us not as a vassal state and a friend who will come to our sa ating residence, give us some food, but eventually a friend that will occupy our backyard, for example. Can we accept that? I think that is not acceptable, Carmina.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. Bayan Muna Representative Carlos Zarate, appreciate you always coming to the show. You take care. Keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina. And you take care also. Be safe.
Thank you. Take care. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone. Keep it here on ANC.